I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I'm here weekdays, 9 to 11 o'clock, providing a safe space for the independent thinkers out there. Actually, I have some news on that. The number of people who are willing to open to other information may be slightly bigger than I thought it was, so that's always good news. We'll get to that. I had really planned on starting today's show or with some level of a tribute to Ron Paul. A lot of people out there in love with Donald Trump, me not so much. I would say if there's any politician I've been have had an affinity to, it would be Dr. Paul. Now, the difference between me and majority of people who fall in love with a politician is if Ron Paul ever changed his mind on things or flip-flopped on anything, I would call him out on it as much as I liked him. I was actually the deputy director of the Ron Paul campaign back in 2008 here in the state of Mississippi. Stumbled on to Ron Paul probably in 2006, 2007. I remember kind of turning some people on to him. Ron Paul was very different than what a lot of people are. He was a long-time politician, originally an OBGYN, ended up going into politics. But he was not only a politician, he was a bit of a statesman. Ron Paul, very, very loyal, more loyal than just about anybody else to the Constitution. He considers himself and was kind of a leader of the liberty movement. Back in the day, I don't know if you saw this, but he had what appeared to be a stroke on air during his, he does something called the Liberty Report every day, or most days, I'm not sure exactly what the schedule is, but he had an on-air event that was very scary, and at the time, I started taking my notes to say, you know, I'm going to honor that guy, because if there's anybody who tried to return the government back to the people and strip it apart, Ron Paul, about the only person that would ever talk back to the Federal Reserve when they come. Most people in Congress, and this is why I don't play the two-party system, Republicans and Democrats are bootlickers to the Federal Reserve because they facilitate all the massive spending in Washington, D.C. Ron Paul stood alone in challenging a lot of the Fed heads when they came and testified in front of Congress. What I believe Ron Paul is a real patriot as opposed to the fake patriots today that want more war and more government and they love the political theater. Ron Paul was actually up there. He was known as Dr. No and was actually would not vote for any spending increases, would not vote for any tax increases. He was probably the best president we never had. It was very interesting. You know, we look now at these days, watch the Democrat Party having screwed Bernie Sanders out of the nomination twice back in 2016 and 2020. I was there in 2008 when the Republican Party did the exact same thing to Ron Paul. And this is what the two major parties do to the outsiders. I watched Ron Paul ridiculed by the Republican Party, said he couldn't win. Ron Paul was one of the first ones to get these big campaign rallies before Bernie Sanders, before Donald Trump. Ron Paul was the guy across in the country, particularly on college campuses. I guess this was, you know, this is 2008, 12 years ago. A lot of college students were very interested in things like personal freedom and liberty. And they were showing up in droves for Ron Paul before they ever showed up in droves to go the complete opposite direction with Bernie Sanders and the socialists. And Ron Paul did not have to rely on some kind of a shtick or promises of a bunch of free stuff to attract these crowds. He actually talked about the Constitution and shutting down Washington, D.C. to as much degree as possible. Ultimately, Ron Paul seems to have made a recovery. I don't know exactly what happened. If he had a mini stroke, he's getting old. He's definitely losing the command of the English language. It's a little sad to see. He's got a lot of important things to say. I may even play a clip from him later on in the show today. But Anyway, he has been laying pearls before swine for quite some time with a long record in Congress. So my quotes for today are a couple of Ron Paul quotes. He's got a lot of them out there. He said, setting a good example is a far better way to spread ideals than through the force of arms. And another Ron Paul quote, the moral and constitutional obligations of our representatives in Washington are to protect our liberty, not coddle the world, precipitating no-win wars while bringing bankruptcy and economic turmoil to our people. If you like Donald Trump's get out of the Middle East and end all the foreign wars, you would have loved Ron Paul because Ron Paul was serious about it. Ron Paul said things like, we marched in, we can march out. Not all the equivocating in 4 years to just slowly remove troops. So anyway, it was pretty fascinating to watch Ron Paul's campaign from the inside. The first time I'd ever been involved in a political campaign, I was sick of politicians by the time I started working with his campaign. We're talking now about the enthusiasm gap between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Nobody's got a Joe Biden side, but a lot of people in the campaign really thought Ron Paul might have had a shot because there were so many Ron Paul yard signs all throughout the state of Mississippi, particularly in some of the smaller towns. And we thought, oh my gosh, we may have caught lightning in a bottle here. Something may actually happen. And then, of course, the establishment Republican Party mobilizes, marginalizes him, and they get their John McCain in the way it was always designed to have happened. So this is one of those things where I know a lot of people kind of probably get mad at me. I mean, the Republican Party is better than the Democratic Party, but it's like I say, I'm not sure which is better, but I'm sure either syphilis or gonorrhea, one of them's better. But this is when I really realized the true corruption in the two-party system was working in the Ron Paul campaign and understanding that, you know, they manipulate, they select the candidates. They are not elected. They select them for us. And the most telling thing was a couple of polls. One, Ron Paul was winning on a CNBC poll, and so they just took his name off. And the political, he was winning. You know, they put the poll out there, who are you going to vote for in the Republican primary? Ron Paul was well ahead, almost at double of the next closest person. And the next morning I woke up to look at the poll again. I was involved in the campaign. I wanted to see what it was. This was just an online poll, and so his name was just missing from the whole thing. It just wasn't there. And I heard an interview with the political John Hargrood at CNBC, and he said, look, we're not gonna draw a lot of attention to someone who has no chance of winning, which was an odd thing to do. You had this guy, Ron Paul, winning this poll, but he said, oh, he can't win, so we're not gonna talk about him at all. And I thought, well, that's an odd thing. And there was a lot of, well, Ron Paul's just got a lot of good online people. Well, that shows some level of energy, and I guess any campaign can get people active online. It was just interesting to watch the party machine crush a candidate that was outside of their allowable candidates. And this is why I rebel against the Thelma and Louise political parties. And they certainly have gotten worse even since then. So anyway, glad to see Ron Paul's okay. I have a feeling that I'll be doing a tribute to him at some point. The man is definitely older, but still a wise man and never retreated from his policies. I'm always on guard, even with Ron Paul. If he were to change his mind, if he was to backtrack on things, if he was to go into a direction that's different, this is the difference between me and the vast majority of people who fall in love with a politician. I would call him out the second he betrayed the principles that he sold me on. I would call him out. Absolutely no level of loyalty to not criticize. And unfortunately, that is a rare. But when I come back, it's maybe a little bit more the number of independent thinkers. I always have this kind of battle. It's difficult to do a show, to be honest with you, sometimes when you realize you're going out into hyper-partisan world when you're not a partisan. You know, how do you market a show like that? But the numbers are in. They've done a poll about people who are, well, it's a little bit of a signal of open-mindedness, and it's good to see. Maybe there's more people than I thought. So we're going to get to that when we come back, plus a whole lot of other news that's going on, including Trump's tax returns. Oh, they're out. The tax returns are, air quotes here in the studio, out. New York Times doing an article yesterday laying out Trump's tax issues. We're going to talk about that today as well. And you will hear it from somebody who believes that the IRS should be abolished across the board anyway. So I'll be right back.
Stay. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller, and Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller, and Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
Across an interesting article. I am always interested in what drives people. In this hyperpartisan world, as an observer, I just find it to be so incredibly odd. I don't believe either one of the parties, any of the politicians, are necessarily serving our interests, and haven't for quite some period of time. Yet it has just made people dig down further into declaring a side. So I'm always interested in the bias of people. I talk about this a lot, but people always say, why can't we just have an independent news source that just tells us the facts? And I say, because nobody wants that. Very few people want that. I'll put it that way. This was on September 11th, Gallup headlined, "Bias in Others News, a Greater Concern Than Bias in Own News," and reported, based on a polling, a randomized sample of 20,046 American adults, that 69% of Americans say they are more concerned about bias in the news other people consume than its presence in their own news. And that came in at 29%. In other words, 69 to 29, or 2.38 times as many Americans, are closed-minded regarding information sources which don't fit their ideology than are not. Overwhelmingly, in America, only Democratic Party information sources are trusted by Democrats, and only Republican information sources are trusted by Republicans. Each side distrusts the other's information sources. Gallup News report aptly noted the important fact that, quote, this plays into the political polarization in the U.S. national discourse. And this is what I see here. As somebody who doesn't cover partisan news in the same way everybody else does, you're not ever going to hear any party's talking points on this show. As a matter of fact, I will spend a great deal of time debunking political party talking points on this show. I'm encouraged to find out that maybe 29% of people out there are at least, they understand there's propaganda in the news that they watch. I mean, if you were looking at Daily Caller and Breitbart as your main news sources and thinking you're being well-informed, I got to tell you, it's just not happening. Ditto if you're looking at Huffington Post and New York Times. It's very difficult. It requires some level of discernment, I guess, maybe is the term I'm looking for here. But this poll was written up in a piece by Eric Zeus in the Strategic Culture Foundation, and he had one paragraph that I thought was pretty interesting. He said, each side is craving propaganda instead of truth, but each side's voters want only the type of propaganda that is funded by the billionaires who also fund that side's politicians and control that side's news media. Consequently, American politics is controlled by the conflict between liberal billionaires versus conservative billionaires, totally controlled by billionaires instead of by the public. There is the liberal herd and the conservative herd, but they're both herds, not by the public in an actual democracy. And each of these two herds is controlled by its shepherd, who are its billionaires. As a consequence of Americans' strong tendency to be closed-minded, Americans' politics are, to a very large extent, driven more by prejudices than by realities that the public are actually facing. Individuals are seeking for sources that will likeliest confirm what they already believe, and are seeking to avoid sources that are likeliest to disconfirm their beliefs. This is consequently a population that's highly vulnerable to being manipulated by playing up to and amplifying the given party's propaganda to which the given individual already subscribes. Here's a good example for this for people on the right. For those of you who believe that Iran is an existential threat to the United States and they must be taken down and countered at every turn, and we must expend trillions of dollars to stay in the Middle East to make sure we counter this Iran influence, you know whose talking points you're taking in there? You are falling for the manipulation and the propaganda of the Republican billionaire, Sheldon Adelson, who spent $125 million buying off a bunch of Republican Congress critters so they can go out and tell you that we need to go out and counter Iran. Now, you can justify it however you want to, but that's what's happening to you. Ditto for people on the left who are buying into the George Soros line. It is the war of the billionaires using the people as the pawns. I have yet to see any news footage of any of the billionaires out in the streets facing off with police. See, they don't do that kind of stuff, do they? The Republican conservative billionaires are not marching with the Proud Boys and putting their body at risk. The George Soros and the liberal hedge fund manager billionaires are not out marching for BLM. No, they put you out there, the pawns, the toadies, the stools. But that is exactly why it's been widely reported that the United States has now got an oligarchy. And I always wonder if it's possible for more people to escape this manipulation. I did, but I'm really one of those kind of questioners. I got an anti-authoritarian streak in me. I don't know what it is. Not really sure where I got it from. My dad was a company man his whole life. He's been a lifelong Republican. My mom was a little bit more independent, but my mom and I didn't always get along. So I don't know where I got this. I think it may be my Scottish heritage. But there seem to be very few of me. But maybe 29% of people are open to new ideas. This is actually, you know, you always want to have a radio show that appeals to 100% of the people somewhere, but you never will. So if there are 29% of people out there that have some level of independent thought in them, then maybe I've got a shot here. That being said, let's see. I guess I'll go ahead and get into this now. On Friday, I talked a little bit about Trump buying seniors' votes. He did his... He gave seniors, or he's in the process of sending out $200 cards to every senior citizen in the country to help them with their prescription cost, the total cost of this ship out of free money from the federal treasury out to seniors is $6.6 billion. I consider this campaign spending. Now, look, Democrats do it too. Everybody does it. It's just I thought we were supposed to expect more from Donald Trump, and I thought we didn't like big socialist government. So anyway, I talked about that. There's $14 billion going out to the farmers in what I believe is their third round of bailouts. So that is to buy the farmers' votes. Just a couple of weeks ago, we found out that Donald Trump had approved or was talking about getting ethanol up to 15% of gasoline now instead of the 10%. Everybody should be thrilled about that. Everybody loves ethanol, right? No, none of us like ethanol. It harms your gas mileage and hurts small engines, but it's good for the corn farmers, so Donald Trump's ready to move ethanol from 10% to 15%. And then he came out with this. Have you heard about the Platinum Plan? I mean, the dollars that are flowing into, as I said earlier this year, this is going to be the most expensive election season ever, and I'm not talking about campaign contributions like Hillary spent $1 billion to lose in 2016. I'm talking about the massive federal pork that comes out flying to people to try to buy votes from both sides. Joe Biden's got like $5.4 trillion over 10 years, but that's over 10 years. It's horrible. That's why I would never cast a vote for Joe Biden. I think I might actually be able to say if my life depended on it. I might just sooner exit this mortal coil than pull a lever for Joe Biden. But when they say that $5.4 trillion, that's over 10 years, so that's $540 billion a year is this nut job Joe Biden's plans. But unfortunately, that stalwart conservative Donald Trump has the Platinum Plan he's rolling out now.
And I'm here today to announce a brand new plan to deliver more opportunity, more security, more fairness, and more prosperity to black communities. We call it the Platinum Plan. Platinum Plan. And that's a contract with black Americans, and it's going to be something that people talk about for a long time to come. If you vote Republican over the next 4 years, we will create 3 million new jobs for the black community. Open 500,000 new black-owned businesses.
That's very specific.
Increase access to capital in black communities by $500
billion. $500 billion.
And this includes investing in community development financial institutions and minority depository institutions.
Investing.
Build up peaceful and safer urban neighborhoods with the highest standards of, and you know this, of policing. We want the highest standards. We have that. We have to have highest standards of policing. Bring even greater fairness to the justice system. We did criminal justice reform. We remember that. Even greater, we will create a national clemency project to right wrongful prosecutions and to pardon individuals who have reformed their life. Create a ladder of opportunity for African-American children by delivering school choice to every parent in America. So important. Give black churches the ability to compete for federal resources for their communities. Bring better and tailored health care to address the historic disparities that we've had for so many years. You know that. This includes investing in treatments for kidney disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, sickle cell disease, and maternal mortality. Advance home ownership and wealth building in the black community. Bring more manufacturing back to the USA, which we're doing anyway, and back to the inner cities, which have been largely forgotten, although not so much in the last 3 years when you get right down to it. Thank you. End Democrat policies that import low-wage foreign workers from overseas to replace black workers in our inner cities. Joe Biden cares more about the citizens of foreign countries than he does about black Americans living in our own country. I will always put Americans first, and that includes, very, very importantly, black Americans.
And you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. Now, there's some things in there to like. I like the ideas of school choice. Maybe just shut down the Department of Education and let the states fix their education systems. That would be pretty good. But anyway, whatever. If we got to roll this out on the federal level, I know we love things to come down from the mountaintop. But I got to tell you, it's like a lump in my throat. I can't quite get past the $500 billion. I'm not sure exactly what this means yet, but it is going to increase access to capital in black communities by nearly $500 billion. I got to tell you, that sounds a lot like a Democrat talking point. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting to me. It's actually kind of funny to watch conservatives justify these huge new government programs. If a Democrat did them, Republicans would be screaming from the mountaintops. Look what they're doing. I heard the $500 billion thing, and I thought, oh, so we are doing reparations. Now, that may make people angry, white people, black people, Trump supporters, Trump haters. I don't know, but $500 billion, kind of a lot of money. A lot of talking there about investing in this and investing in that. I love when politicians talk about using federal. What they do is at a point of the gun, they steal money. They steal money from the average American citizen. And then they take it and they spend it on special interest groups and say that they're, air quotes here in the studio, investing it. How have those investments panned out for us over the past 30 or 40 years? I've heard them use this term. We need to make investments in this and investments in that. You had the investment in Solyndra under the Obama administration for about, I can't remember what the total of that was. We recently had the investment in Kodak under the Trump administration. It was an equally large, absurd amount. Another $500 million or something like that, government making investments. But what do you think about the Platinum Plan? It sure sounds like a massive effort by the government to give away taxpayer dollars in order to secure a few more votes for the November 3rd election. Am I getting that wrong? I guess it's easier than trying to explain economics and just trying to get everybody on the same page of a capitalist system. Maybe we've crossed that Rubicon and there's no going back to that, because that's what would help the black community, the white community, basically everybody. For all you lefties out there, if you want to actually hurt the billionaire class, make them go by capitalism, because what they're doing right now has no, it has nothing to do with capitalism. Most of these billionaires create their wealth through cronyism. They're at the trough. But it was just really very interesting to me, particularly when I heard the $500 billion figure, I thought, oh, wow. So we are going to do reparations. And again, it was interesting to watch conservatives twist their mental muscles around. Really, really, you got to really, really stretch out to roll out the platinum plan and say, yes, this is conservative. This is a massive government program dedicated to going out and targeting a specific part of the American population right before an election. This seems to kind of out-Democrat the Democrats in some way, so I expect Joe Biden to come back with maybe something even bigger. That's exactly where we're going right now. These are our choices, ladies and gentlemen. We got socialism and socialism light. Just get used to it. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. Interested in anybody has a take on the platinum plan with the $500 billion in there? Or maybe somebody knows how that $500 billion is going to be doled out. Is that taxpayer dollars? Is that some kind of a taxpayer-guaranteed loan from private institutions that will collect the interest and the taxpayers on the hook for it? I don't know. I'm sure it will be fun to find out exactly what that new program is about. Anyway, the Trump tax returns. Anybody upset by what they saw on the Trump tax returns? So the New York Times yesterday released what they say is a synopsis of the last 20 years of Trump tax returns without releasing the returns themselves to protect their sources. Immediately, Donald Trump has called this fake news. We don't know if anybody who is a Trump supporter will believe that this is entirely fake news. Anybody who is not a Trump supporter, who is a Trump hater, will believe this is gospel, because that's the world we live in. And nobody actually knows for sure if either one of them are the case. There is a reason Donald Trump is not releasing his tax returns. I'm not an idiot. I have assumed, I have thought, I have guessed that maybe it was just he wasn't as rich. That seems like kind of the thing that Donald Trump might want to keep just for ego purposes. He might want to keep that out. I also believe there's probably a possibility that he overstated his income to get some loans and understated it for taxes. That doesn't bother me. Look, banks have to do their own due diligence, number one. And number two, I'm against individual income taxes. For all of you out there who say, look at this, he's not paying his fair share, we'll go through some of the bullet points of this thing. I say to you the same thing I've been saying about taxes since I got on air and long before. The tax code is created so rich people don't actually pay taxes, you idiot. Every time the Democrats come out and say they're going to raise this rate or raise that rate, and you get all fired up because you think you're going to fleece the rich people and you're going to get some of the drops that come down from squeezing them, it's not going to happen. Wealthy people don't pay. pay taxes like you and I do. And I'm actually kind of fine with that, except for the fact that the middle class and working classes have to pay these taxes, are robbed essentially at gunpoint to steal money out of every single one of your paychecks. That does not seem like a free country to me, but what do I know? But these wealthy people, the donor class, have got their... They create this tax code. So when a Democrat comes out and tells you we're going to raise the top limit, for the top tax bracket from 35% to 39.9% or some other nut job idea coming out of the left, and the left gets so excited about it, they will, inside the 77,000-page tax code, they will find a way that these hedge fund managers, whoever donates to the Democratic Party, whoever donates really to both of these parties, the wealthy, they will get carve-outs that keep them from paying taxes. The top tax rate is only for the suckers, for the bottom 99% of people. Probably 99.9% of people. You know, if you're a doctor or an attorney or a plumber with his own company and you're making good money, you're making a few million dollars a year, yeah, you are going to get fleeced by high tax rates. But if you've garnered wealth to where you're making $100 million a year, $500 million a year, something like that, you've got the money for the tax attorneys and to buy off some politicians to put little treats in the tax code for you so that you don't pay taxes. Tax rates only screw the upper middle class, the middle class, and the poor. The top billionaire class never pays taxes. So don't be surprised that Donald Trump used the loopholes that have been in Congress, and many people have pointed it out very correctly. Joe Biden's been in politics for 47 years creating this tax code. And there's nothing in this that says that Donald Trump did anything illegal. He's being audited for a big tax refund he got on a big loss, but that's part of the tax code. If you get a loss, you get to write it off of gains until it's exhausted. If Donald Trump had paid zero in federal income taxes for the last 20 years, I'd be absolutely 100% fine with that. As a matter of fact, I think that should be policy across the board for every single income earner in the United States, zero for federal income taxes. So you're certainly not going to get me fired up that Donald Trump didn't pump more money into this bloated bureaucratic system. I saw an ad. I was going to play the clip, but there's no audio to it. The Democrats rushed out an ad. It's pictures of these average Americans. You know, a teacher pays $5,692 a year in taxes. A firefighter pays $6,000. You know, they put these figures up in front of everybody. Donald Trump paid $750. Well, first of all, if I was a firefighter, I can't remember what all the categories were with this ad. What was it? Somebody paid $10,000. I can't remember what it was. It wasn't any highfalutin position. Maybe a school administrator or something. It pays $10,940. That should make you angry that the government steals that much wealth from you every year. Over the course of a working lifetime, they steal millions of dollars from average Americans because of the lost opportunity that you have to either invest it or to not go into debt and have to pay interest your whole life. Maybe you could actually afford to pay cash for things if the government was not taking your money and then peeing it away. The funny thing to me is, you know, Donald Trump paid $750 in taxes for, I don't know what it was, 2016, 2017, something like that. He had a couple of years. But then he's taken his salary. I was so disappointed in this. A lot of people talk about, well, Donald Trump's not taking a salary. He's donating his salary. Well, you know, that's nice. I mean, that's a nice gesture as far as I'm concerned, until I found out he was donating it back to the government. He was taking his, what do presidents make now, $400,000 a year? He was taking his $400,000 a year salary, and he was giving it to U.S. government departments. Thought, oh my, all the good charities out there, all the worthy causes out there. And Donald Trump was like giving it to the Department of Energy or the Department of this or the Department of that. Each quarter, I think he donates which federal government bureaucracy he donates his salary to. And I think, no, don't do that. So he might not have paid a lot of taxes in the past few years, but good Lord, he's given $400,000 willingly to federal agencies, which is just, that's a crime against economics right there. They did not find any Russia collusion stuff in all of the undercover reporting that the New York Times did on this, to the great dissatisfaction of everybody. Let's see what else in here. We got 18 points of this. It talks about his golf courses are losing money, and this helps lower his taxes. There's going to be a lot of talk of that Donald Trump's businesses are not doing well. There's been talk about the fact he's got big loans coming due. So all of these things, and we don't really know if any of this. But again, you know, look, I don't really care about taxes. I mean, my argument is so different than everybody else's. It's so funny. If Hillary Clinton had gone 4 years into her term not releasing her taxes, conservatives would be up in arms. But because it's Donald Trump, they don't care. They say it doesn't matter. It's under audit. That's a horrible excuse. It doesn't hold any water, but people continue to believe it. Now, I know if Hillary Clinton didn't release her taxes for 4 years, I would suspect her of a crime. I suspect her of a crime anyway. the Clinton Global Initiative was just a giant scam in the first place. But we're supposed to think that the left doesn't think that Donald Trump's involved in a scam, in some kind of a criminal activity, too. He can release his tax. If he wants to get this office back, he can release them if he wants to. I don't care one way or the other, again, because I am so totally against individual income taxes. There's a lot in the documents about consulting fees paid to himself, paid to his daughter. These are all things these people do. You understand that billionaires have got, I can't imagine the untold number of millions of dollars every year they pay tax attorneys to get them out of paying taxes, and I'm all for that. Look, Donald Trump, I mean, how many jobs has he created? If you were to look at Donald Trump's trajectory, his entire professional life, every construction project he's done, every crew member of The Apprentice, all the way up to that, it doesn't matter. Everybody that Donald Trump has ever hired, created a job for, if you added up all of the tax receipts of everybody that has ever had a job because of Donald Trump, the number would be astronomical. Does that not matter? Not to mention the fact that these people were able to feed their families and buy things from shops and restaurants. I mean, that's what keeps the economy going, is people that have jobs, right? So Donald Trump has created a ton of jobs. You want to criticize him because he used legal tax loopholes that were put in there specifically for people just like him? The whole thing is a giant nothing burger, but I see it as a nothing burger in different ways. I don't know if this is fake news or not. Neither do you. It doesn't matter if you're on the right or the left. Not a single one of us know if this is true or not. But Donald Trump overuses the term fake news so often. When he says fake news to things that I know are true, it's turned out that the fake news label, even though the media is absolutely horrible and is constantly guilty of fake news, his fake news label has essentially come over the last couple of years to be anything he doesn't like or disagrees with, he calls fake news. That's an overuse of the term. It's like the left using the term racism. It has come to have no meaning. So a lot of people will see, oh, you're all over this place. Are you mad at him? Are you happy with him? No, I don't care. I don't care. I hope Donald Trump pays zero in taxes. I hope every American, everybody listening to the sound of my voice, I just wish we had the lobbyists up in Washington, D.C. that allowed us all kinds of loopholes at our levels to not pay any federal income taxes. That's the way it should. The IRS should be abolished across the board. None of us should pay it. And it should really aggravate you. I highlight this a lot. I think, what did I say? The average family of four during all of your working lives, the husband, the wife, the two children, as they grow old and they go through the work, you pay $1.2 million in federal income taxes. For what? $1.2 million. You sacrifice, each one of you, for, I think I calculated that, on either a 30 or a 40-year working life for each one of the members of that family. $1.2 million. Trump's giving away $500 billion to the black community starting next year, I guess. I got a story about the U.S. Embassy in Iraq. What was the figure on it? It was something like $592 million just to build this one embassy in Iraq that we're apparently about to bug out of. So they took $1.2 million from your family of four. You all sacrificed, each one of you, 40 years you handed over this money to the federal government, not to mention if you made a mistake and had to pay fines and penalties. And that money is a rounding error. That didn't pay for the couches. Your whole family working your whole life, sacrificing to send in those federal taxes. That probably didn't pay for all of the couches and desks that went into just the Iraqi embassy. You see how pointless this is? I don't know why in the world Americans, I mean, I guess, you know, everybody's so surprised everybody's going along with the COVID stuff. I got to tell you, I'm not near as surprised as probably most people, because people have been going along with things that are against their self-interest for so long, it no longer shocks me. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, only a couple minutes left in this hour. I would ask people on the left, liberals, what benefit is it to you when more money goes to Washington, D.C.? This I really can't figure out. I mean, the schools are get worse every year, even though they spend more on it. Social programs have trapped people in poverty. You're funding the war on terror, the war on drugs, the war on poverty, all of them catastrophic failures. You're building more prisons. Some people like that. I would equally ask anybody out there who believes that paying taxes is your patriotic duty. Oh my gosh, people. It's like Stockholm Syndrome or something. Of course, you have to have some basic economic understanding, which I try to teach on the show a little bit. When you start to realize, or if you would ever accept the fact that the federal government takes in over $2 trillion a year in other things outside of individual income taxes, so they can still operate. It's not like you have to close. If you stop individual income taxes, the government has to shut down. But I actually saw a commenter on this story say, taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. I don't know. You looking around? Do we feel real civil right now? How's that working out for us? You think we might be a more civilized society if everybody had a little bit more to lose, where they were actually, you know, pretty comfortable? Maybe they saved $10,000 a year in taxes. They got to keep everything that they earned. They could stay home and buy stuff or take vacations. You think we might be better off then, a little bit more civil? Or you think that confiscating a bunch of wealth from a bunch of Americans makes us a more civilized society? I got to tell you, I'm not seeing it. The left still needs to explain that to me. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I'll tell you what, scanning the headlines and stuff during the break. I don't know whether to be happy or depressed that the whole world seems to have gone nuts because, you know, I mean, we pay attention a lot here to U.S. policies and politics and those kinds of things, whether it's coronavirus or Black Lives Matter or the partisanship. It seems to me like everybody's lost their mind. And every now and then you see an international story and you say, well, at least it's not just us. Something has happened to humanity. I'm beginning to think, is it cell phones? Is that what it is? I mean, something's happened in the past 10 years that has really kind of just gotten us over the mental cliff. Something has happened. The reason I bring it up, this story, a school teacher whose body, face, and tongue are covered in tattoos and who had the whites of his eyes surgically turned black said he was prevented from getting a teaching job at a French kindergarten after a parent complained he scared their child. The guy is absolutely horrific. He's complained that he did not get a job teaching kindergarten. I guess we've just gotten to a point in humanity where we've been coddled for so long everywhere that nobody understands the costs for actions. I mean, it doesn't matter who we are. I mean, most people cannot accept that there's any trade-offs in life. Now, the beautiful thing is he lives in a country where he's free to destroy his entire skin and become this bizarre-looking weirdo. He's got the freedom to do that, but it comes with a cost. Maybe you're not going to be a kindergarten teacher. Of course, we live in a world right now where dudes decide they want to become a lady, and then they decide they think they're being discriminated against, that they can't compete in women's sports. And women's sports across the country have been letting them in. You see these guys setting records in women's sports. There seems to be a tiny bit of pushback against that. That is what was funny to me when things like that happen. It's kind of like the liberals' idea of carving out all of these special interest groups and giving them all of these advantages, and then eventually those groups end up facing off with each other. We've had decades of feminism and, you know, trying to get women built up and give them all the opportunities and the scholarships and everything that men have. Look, that's fine if that's what you want. You want some level of equality. That's fine. It's understandable, but it's just funny. You spend decades and decades promoting women, giving them all these opportunities, and then one of your other special interest groups wants access to those women's things, and all of a sudden you've got the transgender movement coming in and putting down the feminist movement because all of a sudden guys are beating women at sports. It's also a little funny to me on the left. You won't let a group of men have a club, a voluntary club, where you just set up a club and you say this is a club just for guys. Well, the left loses their mind and wants equal access to the club. We demand that you allow women into this club, and sometimes it goes the other way. Sometimes men trying to get into women's clubs. Nobody can voluntarily associate with who they want anymore. We have to have the government involved in everything. So the women try so hard to be allowed to access these male-only clubs. Well, you got your wish. You got in the clubs. Now the men are coming and going, hey, we want in your club too. We're going to come in and compete with you in sports, and now you're upset about it. This left-wing utopia seems to just not be materializing. I mean, you've had 30, 40 years of trying to promote every sliver group in the country, and yet the utopia that you imagine just seems to elude us. I don't understand it. I don't know what to say. Is it humans? I mean, you know, we talk about the rise and fall of empires and countries and financial systems, but I don't know we have a long enough spectrum to judge whether or not humans can get to a point where they're just now too dumb to exist, because that's kind of what it feels like to me. Not all of us, obviously. Some of us are doing just fine, but just, you know, as a group, if you just look at humanity right now, you just think, I mean, we've got people who support bombing the crap out of the Middle East. And then when you have this flood of migrants go into Europe, they go, what's the deal with all these immigrants coming into Europe? We can't have all these immigrants coming in. And a normal, rational person says, well, look, you've been bombing their homes for 20 years. You've destroyed most of their cities. You've cratered their economies and put them in mortal danger. So they've fled these horrific wars that you've been propagating, and now you're surprised they're showing up on your doorstep looking for some level of safety? I mean, we can't think our way through that? That's one of the, that's kind of one of the easy ones. There's stories out right now. I'm telling you, they are leading us to a war with Iran. I'm just telling you right now, I'm saying it over and over and over again with all of these air quotes here in the studio, peace deals that Trump and Jared Kushner are doing right now, aligning all these Middle Eastern countries that all just happen to be enemies of Iran. Well, apparently, Iranian proxies in Iraq are attacking the U.S. embassy in Iraq, and we are threatening to pull out. You know, probably one of the worst bluffs or empty threats ever. The Iraqis have been trying to get us out of their country for about 5 years now through votes in parliament. Everything. We have refused to leave. Now we're saying, if you don't stop all the attacks, we're going to leave. And I think the Iraqis are looking at each other and going, let's keep up those attacks. It may be the only way we get them out of there. Again, it's a $592 million embassy. I believe it may be the biggest embassy in the world, that we plopped right down in the middle of Baghdad in a country that doesn't want us, that didn't invite us, that we're supposed to be greeted as liberators. I don't know what we're being chased out as, but you're blaming this again on Iranian proxies. So you can be rest assured that I did the story last year. They say they're only 6 months away from having a bomb. The rhetoric on Iran is starting to heat up. Iran's trying to assassinate one of our ambassadors. There have been a bunch of Iran stories. And again, this is a very, very dangerous time. You've got a contentious election. You've got an embattled president. You've got a failing economy. This is the time that wars get kicked off as a big distraction. Bill Clinton did it, didn't he? A lot of people on the right could see it when Bill Clinton did it. Yep, easy to see when the other side does it. There was also a story out last week that in these air quotes here in the studio, peace deals that are going on in the Middle East, the Trump administration told Sudan that they would take them off the list of terrorist countries if they normalized relations with Israel. But if they didn't, we were going to leave them on. Now, Sudan doesn't have to make any other structural changes. This just really shows you how bogus this whole list of terrorist countries is and the whole idea of terrorism. Essentially, we've just got them on this list. They don't change anything, but if you normalize ties with Israel, we'll take you off the terrorist list, and I'm sure that comes with all kinds of goodies of trade and foreign aid and all kinds of goodies. But obviously, Sudan's not a real dangerous to American security terrorist country if we're willing to just take them off if they normalize relations with another country that is not the U.S. Or maybe our list is just actually designed to protect other countries. Is there any possibility of that, like I've talked about for quite a bit? Anyway, it should show you what a load of crap the idea of terrorist is. As part of the platinum plan that Donald Trump has put out for the black community, the $500 billion and school choice and commutations of sentences and second chance programs and all these other things that Trump was part of the platinum thing. Trump's saying he's going to designate two groups as terrorist groups here in the United States. I'm warning people about that. That's a very dangerous thing to do. I hate Antifa as much as anybody else. They are a bunch of thugs. They are a gang. They are violent. They are organized. You start making U.S. groups of U.S. citizens into terrorist-recognized organizations, be careful what you wish for. You will get a president in the United States that labels the Proud Boys a terrorist group. And when you label somebody a terrorist group, the government has all kinds of nifty new tools they can use, including indefinite detention without a trial, all kinds of goodies like that come in the war on terror. But in this platinum plan that Trump has announced, he says he's going to make Antifa and the KKK a terrorist group. I mean, look, the KKK has been so wildly marginalized for all of my adult life. I didn't even know they even exist. What nut jobs are out there still running around in a white sheet? We laugh at them as a society. Now, there are some nut jobs out there that may support them. But I don't recall any terrorism? I mean, is there something going on that I'm not aware of? I find it hard to believe that if there was a bunch of white extremist violence going on in this country, I kind of feel like we'd hear about it from the mainstream media, don't you? Yet the FBI has designated, this is FBI under your Christopher Wray, that I told you the day he was announced that the guy was just a stooge, came from one of the big Tony Washington law firms like they all do, another swamp creature. Christopher Wray is a swamp creature. I told you the day he was announced. Now people are starting to realize it's true. Christopher Wray's FBI is labeled white supremacist as the greatest terrorist threat in the United States. Is that what I saw a couple of weeks ago? I mean, am I missing something? Which brings up another thought that I just think is something interesting to consider. Have you noticed there have been no mass shootings this year? Now, knock on wood, I mean, we don't want them. But, I mean, they were coming about as regular for a while there, about every 6 weeks, 3 months, something like that. We had another one of these attacks. It's almost like the news media says, we're really kind of tied up with this COVID thing right now. Can you not shoot up, do any of the mass shootings right now? We want to focus just on the COVID and now the election, and we've got other things to do right now. Let's put the mass shootings off to the side. We'll pick them back up, particularly if Donald Trump's real. You know, they'll make a deal of them at some other point. Maybe if they think if Joe Biden gets elected, they can start rolling them out then. They can start doing gun confiscation. I don't know. But it's just odd. I mean, seriously, it was every 6 weeks to 3 months we were getting another mass shooting, and suddenly they've all just kind of disappeared for all of 2020, near as I can tell, outside of, you know, what goes on in Chicago. But I don't consider those. The left will use those things in the mass shooting statistics, but you know what I'm talking about. Some lone, crazed gunman goes into a school or a company or a bar or something like that. It's just strange. Those have kind of disappeared this year. Or something else I was going to touch on with that, too. I've lost my train of thought going through all of the insanity that's going on. Oh, the debates. The debates tomorrow. Everybody gets excited about that. Millions and millions of people will tune in to, I've seen it's on CBS. I guess it's on every channel, I guess. CBS keeps saying it's on there. It's the only one I've really heard mention it. But millions and millions of Americans tune in to have their guy lie to them. Oh, that'll offend some people. Every debate I've ever seen has been just a bunch of pandering and a bunch of lies for the last 30 years that I've been paying attention. It took me a while. I believed them first 10 years, I guess, I was paying attention to politics. But it's funny to me. You believe the lies from your guy. You challenge the lies from the other guy. That's pretty much a national pastime. But it will be interesting. I mean, this will probably be the most watched debate ever. Joe Biden, holy cow. Is there any chance? What are the chances? I mean, we're, what, like 36 hours away from the first debate. How does Joe Biden get out of this debate in the next 36 hours? Anybody got any guesses? Shower injury? COVID diagnosis? That's always on the standby, I'm sure. It would be pretty surprising and obvious, but we don't even care how obvious our politicians are these days. They just get away with it. But is there any chance that he tries to take a break from this one, try to regroup? They were talking about the different people that are playing the different opposition in debate prep. And I said Chris Christie and somebody else have been playing Biden in the Trump debate prep. How in the world? I bet you they're having a lot of fun with that. I'm not a Chris Christie fan at all. He's an authoritarian dude. I'm not at all impressed with Chris Christie, as I'm not with most politicians, but it would be kind of fun, wouldn't it? I mean, you know they're joking around all the time. You just can't take that seriously. You ask them a question, you know they're doing a lot of the and they're making jokes about teleprompter malfunctions. I mean, I bet you they are having a big time trying to be Joe Biden in a debate. It looks like it's going to be such an absolute catastrophe for the man that I would say they're probably having a little bit of fun. Anyway, people will tune in. It will be a spectacle, but I don't anticipate getting any big truths out of it or anything like that. Any real facts, anything to get me charged up that our country is going to be better this next 4 years, regardless of the outcome of the election. Anyway, I have another. I have one quick clip I'm going to play in just a second. It was from, you know, this is getting back into COVID stuff. And one of the health authorities in Ontario, Canada, came out. So someone asked the question, hey, how come you're not testing the teachers for COVID every day or consistently or whatever the question was. And this health authority in Canada answers why they're not testing all of the teachers. And this should be an answer that should concern every single person when you look at the numbers of COVID in the United States. Interesting clip. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are seeing something pretty odd right now in the country where the headlines are showing and the news is talking about this uptick in COVID cases. They are setting us up for the twindemic, setting us up for the confluence of the flu and COVID. Confluence, is that the right word? Conflagration? How about that? That's a bigger, more hyperbolic word. At the same time, Florida has removed all restrictions. Tate Reeves, hey, why don't you give Ron DeSantis a call and find out where he got his cojones from? Maybe you could find yours to lift all these restrictions. I think we're still holding at 75% for restaurants here in Mississippi, but it's just interesting to watch the divergence. There's also talk about the fact that COVID has mutated and that it is still contagious, but not very serious. Yet there's been no change in policy. Fauci's out saying, oh, it's looking pretty dark out there right now. We've got all these different things. I was looking at stories about vaccine volunteers. I don't know. I saw another story about some vaccine volunteers and the side effects and this myelination, I think is what it's called, where it starts to attack your central nervous system. They're trying to figure out, was it the vaccine? They actually had a couple of participants in this pretty small group. I mean, relatively small. I'm not talking about just a few people, but had a couple of people suffer some pretty debilitating side effects, or let me put it this way, I guess to be objective, they had a couple of people in the study come down with some pretty significant neurological diseases, and they were saying, well, we're trying to determine if that was just going to happen. One of them said this person apparently had undiagnosed multiple sclerosis. I mean, I guess it's possible, but, this is the games they play with drug trials where they start kicking out people that are getting sick so they don't have to report them at the end of a study. But anyway, I was wondering with volunteers, is it truly a volunteer? And best numbers I could get, these people rolling up their sleeves for these vaccine trials, some of them facing some pretty bad side effects. You know, I mean, it's part of the testing process. I'm not even knocking the pharmaceutical company for it, to be honest with you, because if you're going to give something to people, you've got to test it on people. And so are these people actually volunteering? The most I saw was like $1,200 over a course of about 8 months of participation in the study. And I'm just really kind of stunned by that. These companies make billions and billions and billions of dollars. How do they get away with volunteers on this stuff? Why don't people go, I don't mind helping out here. Seems like something good to do for humanity. But you mean I'm going to risk my life so that you guys can make billions of dollars? How about a little taste? I mean, $5,000, $10,000 or something. It's not like the pharmaceutical companies can't afford it. It's not like the government hadn't already given them about $10 billion already. It's just a little surprising. I mean, you know, there are some people rolling up their sleeve. They think they're doing a good thing for humanity. And for those of you who believe in vaccines, they're heroes. I'm just surprised the heroes can't get, a little taste of something. compensation-wise. But there was a question asked in Canada, as teachers are going back to school up there. Somebody asked this question to a health authority. It's like the state health director. Let me see if I've got the... This is the... like the health chief up in Ontario. Be like our Thomas Dobbs. Questioner asked, you know, why aren't you doing more testing of our teachers if you're going to send us back into the classrooms? And what this Ontario health chief, this is just another one of these comments. I've covered these things over and over during the show over the past 6 months. And it's just like these just go off into the wind. Nobody pays any attention to them. But it's a pretty stark statistic that she's about to give you here when you hear her explain why they don't test all the teachers.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Yeah. Premier, I'm wondering why mandatory testing isn't required regularly of teachers to catch anything before it might erupt.
You know, I think a lot of people think that testing is going to really solve the whole problem, and it isn't. It's one component of a response. If you test somebody today, you only know if they're infected today. And in fact, if you're testing in a population that doesn't have very much COVID, you'll get false positives almost half the time.
What?
That is, the person actually doesn't have COVID. They have something else. They may have nothing. So it will just complicate the picture.
A 50% false positive rate. Is this not something we should... kind of be discussing as we are barraged with headlines on cases are going up in all of these different states? Well, I got to tell you, if half of all those people, I mean, I saw a report this morning, I can't remember the state, where they said cases were up 100%. Well, are they really? Because if half of the cases are false positives, then maybe it's not up at all. And this is over and over and over and over again. These health authorities come on and they talk about this stuff, yet it is complete. People like Fauci and Thomas Dobbs and everybody else who's hysterical about COVID, it's like these things are never said, never mentioned, that they don't exist, that our testing is great, that every single case that comes up is a danger to us all and we need to take all these draconian. I mean, they are setting us up for a second lockdown. It is happening in Europe right now. It's happening in Australia right now. Western powers. You would think Western countries, some of the most advanced and civilized societies out there right now, they're slamming the door shut over in Europe right now. I think it's coming here. And yet this health authority, just matter of fact, I mean, why wasn't somebody in the audience going, what? Excuse me? What? Can you say that again? How much false positives? 50% of tests are false positives? That's a big thing. What have we got right now? 7 million Americans have tested positive for COVID. So is that number really only 3.5 million? That's different. That means only 1% of Americans have even gotten this thing, much less gotten really sick from it or died from it. Or is it 2% of Americans? And the sad thing is, we will never know the truth. There will never be investigations done into any of this stuff. Nothing that gives us any answers in the end. We will never, ever know the truth around any of the numbers from deaths with COVID being reported as COVID deaths to deaths from COVID. The CDC came out and said 94% of all COVID deaths had 2.6, an average of 2.6 comorbidities, meaning other things they died from. And that didn't even, it wasn't even a speed bump in the hysteria about the 200,000 dead. 180,000 dead, heading towards 200,000. Oh, we've crossed 200,000 dead. Well, if it's really only 6% of the people were actually killed by COVID itself, you're talking about 12,000 deaths in a nation of 330 million people. I need to get back my statistics on deaths from properly prescribed medication. I mean, every year, it's like 200,000 people are killed by properly prescribed medications. And we may have only had 12,000 COVID deaths, legit COVID deaths in this country as of right now. Using the CDC's own numbers, they said 94% of people had an average of 2.6 comorbidities. I got to tell you, I didn't know how sick you got when you got old. If you're getting attacked by three or four deadly things all at the same time so that you can have an average of 2.6 comorbidities. But these statistics, these false positives, coroners coming out and saying, we're counting everybody who dies that has COVID, whether they died of a heart attack or died of a car accident or a motorcycle accident. If they've got COVID, we're calling them a COVID death. And nobody pays attention to any of that. The 200,000 figure is still trotted out there across every single strata of media, newspaper, local, national, television, local, national, health authorities, local, national. Nobody will ever even just admit that something a little wonky is going on here. And we are still undertaking all of these extreme measures. This is the surreal life. I know a lot of us are leaving this. I'm different than a lot of people, but I know I'm on the same page with a lot of people with this COVID stuff. We are just looking around and saying, what in the world are we doing? But to hear these health authorities just come right out and say it, there's no consequence for it. There's no... You know, read that irk when you stop a record. Say, wait a second, what did she say? No, there's not even any of that. A 50% false positive rate, that's pretty big news. I got to tell you, in a normal country, in a normal scientific community, a 50% false positive rate while we're dealing with coronavirus, that would be big news because it would change everything. Yet it's just said and then glossed over. And they continue with the same narrative that this thing is going to kill us all. It is fascinating to watch the times we live in. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I hadn't even talked about Trump making the, it's the worst kept secret ever. It was this Coney Barrett is the nominee for the Supreme Court. I did some research on her because that's what I do, and it looks like she's a pretty good pick from a small, limited government. She has done some things to push back against government overreach, which is what I'm most interested in. And so she looks to be a good pick. I would imagine vast majority of conservatives are just thrilled with the idea of the 6-3 court going forward, as am I. I think a conservative court is better for personal liberty, which is my thing. But, boy, I'll tell you what. It's going to be interesting to see how they attack her. It's already started. We've already heard about her Catholic faith. She's being called out on that. It's to be expected. This is going to be a difficult one for them, certainly more difficult than Kavanaugh to pile on this woman. It's a shame she's white, but she is white. So here's one of the first nut jobs. I tell you what. Oh, the left, what has happened to you? What happened to the Democratic Party of 20 years ago even? Who would have guessed if you lived back in the 1990s when Bill Clinton was in office and I was a Kool-Aid drinking Republican back then. I couldn't stand Bill Clinton. Still can't, just for a whole host of new reasons. But who would have guessed that you would be longing for the good old days of the Bill Clinton Democratic Party these days? Ibram X. Kendi, the new director of the Center for Anti-Racist Research at Boston University, is targeting Amy Coney Barrett with some charges. And what he says is an effective case of baby snatching by white colonizers. This is what he said. This is this Kendi guy. Coney Barrett has got two children, two Haitian children, two black Haitian children. There are a lot of children in Haiti that were left after the earthquakes, particularly parentless, society was collapsing and crumbling. And some of these lucky children, I mean, these kids are living a life of a privileged life in the United States. It seems to me that within the black community, isn't our goal for all of us to live a very comfortable life in the United States? Isn't this why we want equal opportunities or more money or whatever it is? Because we all want to live a privileged life. Well, these two kids got out of Haiti and they've got a privileged life now. Kendi wrote this: some white colonizers adopted black children. They civilized these savage, he's putting these things in, they, quote, civilized, unquote, these, quote, unquote, savage children in the, quote, unquote, superior ways of white people, while using them as props in their lifelong pictures of denial, while cutting the biological parents of these children out of the picture of humanity. Essentially charging her with, I mean, what's that, basically baby snatching these children? And he goes on to say, and whether this is Barrett or not is not the point. It's a belief too many white people have. If they have or adopt a child of color, then they can't be racist. I mean, I don't know where you go with that. I mean, it seems like a Catholic family may be trying to help some black kids that were in some trouble, in some need. That is a sign now, not of help, not of compassion. It's a sign of white colonization, and the children are being used as props. I mean, you know, if you're on the left and you've got all these problems with things like race, you got to give us somewhere to go. I mean, there's got to be something that we can do that's right. And I don't know, adopting two kids from a decimated country like Haiti seems like one of those things that, I don't know, might be a good thing. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You ever notice how the people that do the complaining about, in this case, it's a white family adopting black kids out of Haiti, they're not willing to go do that, but they're complaining when somebody else does it.
Well, I guess it's a skin.
You know, did this guy go down to Haiti and adopt any children?
I doubt it very seriously.
No, but he's complaining that somebody else did.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be somewhere, you know, you've got to give somebody somewhere to go. It's like the left never gets enough. If you can't do enough to please them, which just means it will never, you know, and they don't want it to get any better. They want this to continue to get worse and worse and worse between the races in this country. And I don't understand how that's beneficial to anybody, but that's the track they've chosen.
And how can you be in charge of an organization that you're claiming is to help with the defeat of racism and equal opportunity for people, and then complain when someone takes orphaned children and give them an equal opportunity?
I know. He is he's the new director of the Center for Anti-Racist Research at Boston University. Yeah. I mean, golly. Oh, my gosh.
He's at the Center for Anti-Racist, and he's spewing this racist rhetoric.
He's a racist.
You know, that they are only doing this to keep from being labeled as racist.
Yeah, you right, know? Right. Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you what. I mean, this hearing's going to be interesting, but I have to admit, this one caught me off guard. I didn't know her adopting two black children was going to be one of the first lines of attack. It seemed like that was one of the things that might play in her favor, but how naive was I?
Yeah, this is, and I agree with you. I long for the days of the Democrat Party from 30 years ago.
Yeah,
it has evolved into something that is shameful. And how do they attack her Catholic faith when the two leading Democrats in Washington are claimed to be Catholic in Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer?
Oh, but they're not on the court. And the power, what did Feinstein say? The power is strong with the orthodoxy. What would she? I can't remember the term. It lives strong within you, or something like that. They didn't say that to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was Jewish. I don't remember them labeling her as having any problems with her religion.
Oh, and one thing, did you notice that at Ginsburg, of course, she's allowed there, once again, on the left, they can have a funeral with 1,500 people at it, but you and I, if our mother died, she would have to be buried alone.
Oh, that COVID's smart. That's this is the smartest virus we've ever had to deal with. It has a great level of discernment on, you know, I mean, it's apparently very bad after 10 p.m. in a lot of states, but during the day it seems to be just fine. I mean, it's a clever virus. There's no doubt about that.
Well, but the one thing that I noticed concerning the Ginsburg thing is her funeral looked a lot like a Jewish Sunday service, in that there wasn't no black folks there. Where's all the black folks?
Oh dear,
I didn't left leaning woman that she had over 150 former law clerks there as honorary pallbearers, and there wasn't a black folk in the crowd.
Boy, I didn't notice that, but you know I don't see in colors, so you know.
Well, I know, but I just thought it was ironic It was the most white place in America.
It's hypocrisy. It's the new national pastime of the United States. There's no doubt about it. Hey, listen, I appreciate the call. I got to run to a quick break. Appreciate it. All right, quick break. Right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment for today. I'm glad. I mean, I'm looking at headlines. I'm covering these stories. This world is too weird to comment on. Almost. I mean, it's doing a show just stating the obvious to any sane people. I mean, I guess that's my market, is just sane people at this point. You know, if you look at when it comes to these racial issues, if you look at the 1960s, if you were to look at the landscape of the media, just the faces you would see on mainstream media. If you were to look at the faces of things like chambers of commerce, things like that back in 1968, I would imagine it was lily white pretty much across the board. Now, I don't know if they already had black reporters and black anchormen and things like that on the news, but I mean, I just compare what it was like in the, you know, the mid to late 1960s when we were going through the civil rights movement and there was unrest in the streets and all that. And you just compare that landscape to what we have today, which is just scores of millionaires of all stripes and all colors. And media is a kaleidoscope of ethnicities. I mean, you know, just compare those two things. And yet somehow we find ourselves now we're more racist than we were back in the 60s. If you were to listen to people on the left, you would think that we have somehow gone backwards from the 1960s, and it's even worse than it's ever been. It's just so patently absurd just looking around society. And maybe that's lost on some of us in Mississippi, because for so long, we just get along here. One of the great feathers in the cap, I guess, of the state of Mississippi. We've got our challenges, but by and large, we just go about our business. We live in an integrated state, and we just move about society together, and we work together, and we go out to eat together. I mean, it's just kind of assumed here. Maybe it is in these more liberal bastions in Boston, and this guy from Boston University. I don't know. Maybe that's just different in other states where they don't see these things. But you can't turn on television and not see. I mean, I would imagine the vast majority of big-dollar, big-budget movie stars back in 1967 did not include a Will Smith. And now he's one of the biggest box office draws out there. And that's what I say to the left, is you can't constantly demand and then never be satisfied. People get very tired of that. You'll find yourself with nobody really interested in anything you have to say, because there are still challenges to black community, some unfairnesses that should be righted, but you're never going to right them all because, like I say, it's trying to stamp out racism like trying to stamp out a-holes. They're just There just are some. I actually had a whole segment today about Silicon Valley. It's so funny to me in this bizarro world we live in. If you look at any Silicon Valley kind of mission statement or when they're startup, they all talk about, you know, raising world consciousness and making the world a better place. You got Ellen out there telling everybody at the end of every show, this is the world we live in. I mean, this is just a great example of the world we live in. Ellen ends every show with, be kind. And then you just find out she's this diva monster behind the scenes, or at least her staff certainly was. And there were certainly indications that Ellen was not a kind person herself. I had these stories about Silicon Valley today. I'll get to probably at some point because they're just fascinating. These Silicon Valley, these virtue signaling Silicon Valley inside the culture of these places, they're misogynistic, they're racist, they're cruel, they're bizarre. But their public face is they love us all and they're out there fighting the good fight. Nobody is as they seem right now. We live in this just absolute bizarro world. And I find it difficult to comment on at some points. I get a little tongue-tied here on the air. I get to a commercial break, and I go, I don't know what I just said. It's like, what do you say? And the part of the problem is, too, I know so many people are subject to this stuff. I mean, you bought into one side or the other of some of the insanity, so it's kind of hard to deprogram everybody all at once. Not that I'm the arbiter of all truth, but, I mean, we certainly can do better than the thought processes we're working with today. See you tomorrow.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.